I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Starting a business on your own can be lonely and worrying. Selling online multiplies this issue tenfold. Getting expert help is a great way to reduce anxiety, wasted time, and confusion. The Amazing FBA Mentoring Program is in its fourth year of helping sellers to get started on Amazon. By now, we have former clients who have, starting from scratch, done six figures and even in one case, seven figures a year. Obviously, these are not typical results. These are exceptional people. Nevertheless, we can help you get launched faster, safer, and with a much higher chance overall of success. With clients from Melbourne, Australia to Manchester, England, we bring a genuinely international perspective. To find out more, go to amazingfba.com/mentoring. Thanks for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Amazing FBA podcast. This is your host, Michael Veazey. I'm speaking to Hensa Wu of Feedback Whiz, who are specialists in email follow-up in Amazon. And obviously very, very important white hat, legitimate way to get Amazon reviews as well as other good things. So let's talk about this. First of all, Feedback Whiz, does it make any much difference to the review rate, Henson, if we use some kind of automated follow-up sequence? Does it actually make a difference or anything?
Yes, it absolutely does, because what you're allowed to do by Amazon is they do allow you to request a review. So you have one opportunity to request a review by sending, you know, your customer either through buyer seller messaging or through email, which is the same mechanism. But using an email automation tool allows you to automate this process without having to, you know, click every single one on Amazon, because through Amazon Seller Central, you can't automate it. Now, there's a lot of different strategies on how you can get the higher conversion. You know, your subject line is really important. Your content is really important. When you send it is really important, right? Who you send it to, which product you send it to, the branding. There's a lot of different variables that, you know, people don't realize that, hey, these little things, if I put them all together and do it right, I can get a higher review rate. Now, if you don't do anything at all, you're going to probably get under 1% review conversion. And usually that 1%, 70% of the time, it's going to be a negative review, because buyers are more inclined to leave a negative review than a positive review. So through email automation and all the strategies that are going to go through, you really want to be able to come up with a sequence and a strategy on how they can actually get them to leave you a good review. So that's the key.
Great. So you were saying the open rates and subject lines really important. I absolutely agree with that. I mean, my experience of email marketing, subject lines absolutely make a huge difference, the open rate, sometimes in a very random way that you wouldn't expect as well, which is why I always think you got to split test who you're sending it to, when you send it. That's an interesting one. So tell us more about subject lines. I mean, how do we get the thing open, first of all?
Yeah, so subject lines are kind of tricky, because people always think that for subject lines, I should be very direct and write exactly what the email content is about, and then people are going to open it. So that's true for personal emails, right? So if I know you and you know me, and I'm going, hey, Michael, you know, do you want to have dinner tonight or have brought coffee? Like, you're going to open it because you trust me, right? But as someone that doesn't know who you are, right, a total stranger, they're not going to open emails that are saying that, hey, can you leave me a review? Or, hey, do you mind spending a few seconds to open this email? And, you know, things like that, people are more inclined to ignore, especially from people they don't know or things that are not important to them. So when you're sending an email to your buyers, the subject line is the most important thing. And the strategy here is the subject line. You don't want to be too direct on what the content of the email is. Anytime you write things like, could you rate our item or could you leave a review? You're going to see that you're going to get very low open rates, like sub 20%. And the reason is because, first of all, people already know what the content's about. Two, they don't know you. Three, they don't have the time and day to deal with it right now. They're going to skip it. So these are all the issues where they're not going to open it. So how do you get them to open the email? Well, what you have to do is you have to make sure that the subject line contains a few key words where they're going to be inclined to open it, but they don't really know what's the content of the email. So you're not really tricking them, but you're really just not giving them too much information about what the email is, but you have to make it sound like it's an important email. So based on all the tests that we've done, we send all over a million emails a week with feedback, with the highest converting subject lines are the ones that include like the words regarding your Amazon order number or pertaining to Amazon order number. So the keywords are really putting in Amazon order, and then if you can populate the order ID using an email automation tool, you can throw a variable in there and automatically put the number in there. Then these kind of emails, when the customer gets it, they know it's something to do with their order that they placed, but they don't know what it's about. So it sounds important. So, you know, regarding your Amazon order number ID inside, that will get you anything from 40 to 60% open rate, because, you know, it's something that it's a mystery, right? I don't know what that email is about, but I know it's something to do with my Amazon order. Is it, am I not going to get it on time? Is there something wrong with it? Are you going to send me something about it? What is it, right? So the sense of mystery is what gets people to open the email. So that's what you want to do on your subject line.
Great. I mean, 40 to 60% open rate, by the way, is really fantastic for any kind of email type marketing, whether on Amazon or off Amazon. So that's pretty effective. It makes a lot of sense as well. I guess there's basically a fear. So we're going to tread that line, haven't we, between clickbait and like, oh my God, better open this klaxon sign going off. Everything's melting down with my Christmas order and my wife's not going to get a Christmas present, which will probably lead to great anxiety and a big open rate, versus if you fooled them, obviously going to be very, very angry. So I guess we've got to give them a reason to open their email, but without fooling them, right? Just to make that point. Otherwise, we could be into big trouble. So, yeah, split testing. I mentioned it already. I think it's very hard to guess up front what's going to work. So how do you, presumably with Feedback Wiz, you can allow split testing them?
Yeah, so we have the A-B split testing function within each campaign. What that allows you to do is you can test different subject lines. And what we'll do is we'll track the open rates for you, and we'll let you know like which subject line is getting highest open rate. So how this works is Feedback Wiz, you can set up a campaign, and what the campaign does is it sends out one email per order. And you can now split up to five subject lines. So if I want to test five subject lines, what it'll do is it'll evenly split out 28% for the five subject lines to each portion of my the orders for that campaign. And then you can track it over any period of time you want. So, you know, if you have a lot of volume, like let's say you're doing like 1,000 orders a day, then you can pretty much determine which subject line works pretty well relatively quickly. But if you're a lower volume seller and maybe you get like 500 orders in a month, then you might need to wait a month to get more data points to see which subject line does the best. But yeah, I guarantee you that regarding your Amazon order ID is probably going to get you the highest open rate. There's a few other ones that are, you know, similar, but, you know, like you said, it could be deceiving them. And sometimes if you try to deceive them through the subject line, it could actually have negative ramifications. So you definitely don't want to deceive them. Just make it more of a mystery, and, you know, you're going to get great open rates.
That's really smart. I mean, it's a very simple thing you're saying, but actually it's incredibly easy to miss, which is like, you've got to have a reason to open the email. A, it's got to be something you care about. So their order is something they care about, rather than your reviews, which they don't care about at all. And the second thing is a reason to open the email, because otherwise they know what it's about. So yeah, something they care about, and you have to open the email to find the answer. Very simple principles, but you know, like a lot of things, as soon as you say it, you think, oh yeah, of course, but you've got the data to back that up. So that's fantastic to hear. I mean, and if you get I was just thinking, you know, if people get nothing else out of this and they're doing serious volume, then that's going to really transform their reviews over time. That could change their entire listing or in entire their business, really. So look, let's talk about brands then, where you have multiple brands or lots and lots of different ASINs. How do we handle that sort of situation?
Yeah, so what I usually recommend is, since Amazon allows you to put in your logo inside the emails, you absolutely should do that, because first of all, it's brand recognition, right? It's a way for them to get more exposed to your brand, and you can, you know, show it off. So for each different brand that you have within your account, you want to craft up a different type of message, because every brand and every product have different types of audiences, right? So I know people that have brand registry, or Amazon actually gives you an incredible amount of analytics and demographics of who your buyers are, right? Tell you if they're men, they're women, their age, where they're from. All these types of things, you have to understand what kind of audience are buying your product. And based on that audience, they're going to react differently to your emails, right? So after they open your email, this is where you got to convert them, right? Like, how do you convert them? Like, if, for example, if I'm selling baby products, most of my audience is probably going to be young, you know, women, right? Maybe in the age of like 20 to 40, something like that. So they might be inclined to a certain type of message or personalization. Maybe they like pictures of babies or they like pictures of dogs, right? So these are all types of strategies that you have to figure out, first of all, who your audience is and what kind of message they're more inclined to convert on. And then basically put these kind of personalized messages or pictures or images inside these emails. That way you can build that personal touch with them. And then you have a much higher chance of getting a conversion rather than just putting in generic words or giving them some story about, you know, something that doesn't pertain to them. This is really how you get conversions.
Great. That makes a lot of sense. And again, a lot of the stuff that we get from different guests in different media comes down to like understanding who you're selling to or marketing to and tailoring your message to that person. So that makes a lot of sense. So sounds like in Feedback Wiz, you can deal with multiple different brands, really different customer avatars. And then presumably if you've got lots of different ASINs, you can also customize things quite heavily per ASIN, right? In most feedback these days,
yeah, I guess. So each campaign is very simple. Once you create the template for those ASIN, you know, that brand, then you can select exactly which ASINs you want to tie to that template. So if you're, you know, if you're selling a product that has, you know, 20 child ASINs, then you just choose those 20 child ASINs and then they'll only send out emails for that template. So it's very easy to do. And, you know, we have custom tagging features. You can organize all your brands really easily and sort them, filter it, all that.
The tagging, that's quite interesting. That's a bit more like the more sophisticated off out of Amazon sort of space where if you're doing things like Active Campaign or AWeber or whatever, you know, tagging is now more than lists, the way you'd organize your email. So it sounds like you're bringing that to the Amazon world as well. So that's really helpful. Tiny quick one, and then we better wrap up and let you get back to, is it sunny California you're going to be flying back to?
Yeah, I'm still in California. I'm just in Southern California right now. I'm going to fly back to Northern California. So not in my office today, as you can see.
Yeah, looking very sunny there compared to frozen London here. So seller feedback and reviews, a quick one. This is one of those old strategies for more preventing negative reviews and having a bit of a filter. Some people ask for seller feedback and they try and flip it to product review. Sorry, I'm trying to get the right words out here. Is that even worth bothering with these days? What's the conversion ratio from seller feedback to product review these days?
The actual conversion rates are very good on that because if someone already left you a 5-star seller feedback or 4-star seller feedback, that means that first of all, one, they're willing to take their time and day to do something, right? To leave you a review, which is probably the hardest thing to do is getting someone to click that review button and getting them to spend the extra 30 seconds to 2 minutes to write your review. So that's already one really good sign. So if you're able to get them to leave your seller feedback, then the chances of them reading your product review is extremely high. And if they already left you a 5-star seller feedback, then that also means that they've probably already had a pretty positive experience with your product. So they're inclined to leave you a 5-star review. Now, the only problem now with this strategy is that, first of all, Amazon only allows you to send one review request per order, right? So for example, if you're already sending a review request, and you send it out to all your orders, and then you have another campaign that's running this, you know, seller feedback to review. So technically, you're sending two review request emails. Now, I don't know how much Amazon is enforcing this one review request email. You know, maybe they're not enforcing it that much. But if you really want to stay within terms of service, then technically you can't have both of them running at the same time. So there are some sellers who only ask for reviews if they left, you know, a 5-star feedback. For example, if you already have a listing that has a ton of reviews, like you don't really need to have more reviews, but you want to make sure that your integrity of the reviews stay high, the ratings stay high, then you don't need to ask everyone for review. Then you can just set a campaign where, hey, only people that left me 5-star seller feedback, then I will ask them for review. So that's a way to manage that.
It's almost like a legitimate way of asking for it's a manipulating product reviews without technically manipulating product reviews, I guess. I mean, is that not being flagged up by Amazon as a problem with terms of service at the moment?
Well, you just need to be a little bit careful on how you're asking them to leave a review. So if you're saying that, hey, you know, thanks for leaving me a 5-star seller feedback, could you please transfer what you wrote and write it into a product review? Here's the link. Now, that's against terms of service because you're asking them what to write and you're telling them what to write. And you're basically telling Amazon that, hey, I'm soliciting the 5-star feedback people to leave me a review. Now, if you're just sending this out with the, you know, a generic response that basically tells them that, hey, could you please leave me a product review? Product reviews help my customers understand my product and know what to expect from it. Here's the link. Then you'll have no issues with that because it's not, you're not incentivizing them. You're not steering them. You're not using any suggestive language. You're just asking them to leave your review. So just got to be very careful on the language you're using to get them to write your review.
Yeah, it makes sense. But I mean, still, if you've got a lot of reviews and you just want to prevent more negative ones, that's actually quite good to filter things through, really. So is there a way, by the way, to track conversion from feedback to review? Because obviously that's, it's a bit hard to figure it out in my experience.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no way to do it because Amazon doesn't allow you to put any type of tracking links within their links. There's no way to track CTR. And if you did put a tracking link in there and it goes through their buyer seller messaging system, what ends up happening is if the person clicked on the link, you'll get this big display warning message that says you're about to get directed outside of Amazon. And basically, you know, you're taking a risk. So a lot of times what happens is you spook the person and they end up closing the email and it gives you, it's totally pointless, right? It just doesn't work. So yeah.
Okay, so don't try this at home, folks. So a little bit that we also just asked quickly about what Feedback Wiz does, because you've been kindly sharing a lot of your insights, which come from running it, as you say, a million emails a week. So it gives you plenty of data to pull on. Well, just remind us what sort of stuff you do for sellers.
We help you guys automate your email sequences to get you guys higher conversions for reviews. There's a lot of features where you can set exclusions. Let's say you don't want to send emails to people who return your products. Refunds. We have a lot of data that we don't get from the API. We use a different mechanism where Amazon will forward us the same email they forward you. That way we get real-time information and then we feed it back into your Feedback Wiz account. These are all ways to help improve conversion. We monitor your reviews. Any review that comes in for Amazon doesn't have to be your product. It could be any ASIN you can upload and then we can monitor those reviews for you. We do it 4 times a day. We can respond to them. We monitor your listings. So if any changes happen to your listings, your titles, images, people that hijack your listings, other sellers coming on and off, we have all these very advanced notifications that also help you and send you emails right away when these kind of things happen. So it's a way to make sure that, one, you're getting good reviews, two, you're not getting bad reviews, three, you know, no one's messing around with your listings, no one's jumping on your listings, changing categories. You know, I had a friend email me the other day, said, this competitor keeps changing his category to adult category. And what that's doing is they're basically, it suppresses the search term. So a lot of the keywords are no longer searchable because of that. So you definitely need some kind of monitoring tool to help you guys make sure that, you know, other people don't mess with your listings, because once you start selling on Amazon, you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of listings. There's no way, you know, all these things are going on. So,
Absolutely. And that's one thing that as somebody put it in an Amazon mastermind recently, who used to work in business intelligence. So in other words, not being clever, but giving people data in a useful way. And he said he wanted to manage by exception, which is a good way of putting it. So in other words, you don't want to have to look at all of your listings every day manually, or your VA does it, or somebody in your team does it. What you want to do is just know that you've got a system in place that if things are working normally, you just don't worry about them. But it's like spinning plates. You want to see the wobbling plate and go, whoa, there's a problem with that listing, and get on it straight away. So that's a very big time saver. And I think that's one reason eventually to use software, is because it is good at finding exceptions to rules. That's, you know, an exception might be a weird change of category or a change, obviously, in the review status would be very critical. But also sometimes competitors come on and do very, very weird things, and, you know, even change a listing for socks and hijack it and start selling electronics via it. And just all sorts of weird stuff can happen. It's not so common in most categories, but in the hyper-competitive ones in the US particularly, I think it's something you've got to keep an eye on. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and that's very useful. What other sorts of things do you do? Can you set up sort of campaigns and sequences, that kind of thing as well in Feedback Whiz?
We help you set up campaigns and sequences where, you know, you can set up multiple, you don't have to just send the review request email, right? So a lot of customers, what they do is they come up with a PDF where they have information about, they have about, let's say their product, where it's like, let's say you're selling a jump rope, right? And it shows you exactly how to set it up, how to use it. These are some exercises you can use to help you as a complement to your product. So Amazon does allow you to send out these kind of information to build a connection with your customer. And in this email is where you can throw in all the words about like, hey, contact us if, you know, things don't meet your expectations. But at the same time, you're giving them some value, right? So this is kind of the strategy, is like you want to give someone some value. And that way, when you ask them for review later on, they're more inclined to give you a review. Whereas if you just ask them for review, you know, without knowing them, like this is a total stranger, like it's more difficult for them to actually spend the time of day. So the key really is, yeah, make sure you set up a good sequence, make sure the wording in there is very personalized, and you want to try to build that connection with them. And if you can do that, then your view rates are going to really increase.
Great, thank you for that. And it does a very nicely potted version of what you should be doing it to end with here, which is number one, personalize, and number two, give value first. It's like any relationship in the world, isn't it? If you meet somebody, say hi, Henson, lovely to meet you. If there's anything I can do to help you, by the way, here's a useful tip. You're going to be way more open to helping me in future, right? So yeah, that makes so much sense. But so few people do it. I still think that there's a lot of room for improvement in everybody's email campaigns from my experience. So go have a look at it, guys, with that head on. The last thing to say is, if people want to check out Feedback Whiz, I understand you're doing a free 30-day trial for us. So we can put a forward to that at anamazingfba.com/feedback. Do you want to just tell us any more about that little trial?
Yeah, so everyone gets a 30-day free trial. And if you type in the words AmazingFBA promo code when you subscribe, we'll give you 50% off your first month subscription as well. So, yeah, check it out. 30-day free trial gives you access to everything. You know, you're able to use all the tools and now emails. That way you can really see the difference and gives you opportunity and time to set up your sequences, your campaigns, your templates. So, you know, we do everything possible we can to help you guys out. And if you're a new seller, we even have a free plan too, 150 emails a month. So if you're doing, let's say, 5 orders a day or less, you know, it's a really good way to get started for, you know, absolutely free.
Great. Well, yeah, check that out, guys. AmazingFBA.com/feedback, and promo code is AmazingFBA, F for Freddy, B for Bertie, A for Alpha, if you want 50% off. So thank you for making that offer. And just remains for me to say a big thank you for coming on and sharing some useful insights, particularly about the TOS update. So what you should and what you shouldn't be worrying about, very helpful. And also your best practices for things that actually work, particularly I think the open rates of subject lines, really smart, simple tactic there, which I think could really, really help people. So Henson, many, many thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, Michael, for having me on today. Hope you guys enjoy the content.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.